This summer, we're celebrating 250 years since the United States of America declared its independence from Great Britain, an occasion that John Adams predicted would be celebrated in future generations with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. Welcome to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the Utah Farm Bureau podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. John Adams lived in a nation of farmers in 1776. To this day, farm families and traditions have a big part to play in the celebration of the nation and its ideals. Spencer Gibbons is CEO of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation.
I feel such a sense of gratitude for those that have gone before us, those who've protected our freedoms, and those that are willing to continue to work day and night, work through storms, work through drought, work through frost that put food on our table.
In today's America, farmers provide not only for their own families, but for everyone who enjoys a picnic or a barbecue on the holiday. Nicole Handy serves as Executive Director of America 250 Utah. She's helping to organize potluck dinners in communities across the state.
So you can do the parades, you can do the fireworks on the 4th, and then the next day, find a way to connect with your neighbor, break bread, share conversation, and just build community and culture together.
And there's another celebration John Adams could hardly have imagined, a photography contest sponsored by the American Farm Bureau that Utah Farm Bureau members are invited to participate in. We'll hear more about that coming up. First, we'll hear from Spencer Gibbons about the lasting legacy generations of farmers and ranchers have left for us in Utah and some of the issues they're facing today.
As we turn that 250-year calendar page over and we celebrate that birthday of our country, we're trying to emphasize farmers' contributions. And you know, just here in Utah, I think the very first thing they did when they got here, other than they probably took a nap because it was a long walk, but they started to dig ditches so they could irrigate and grow something. And farmers, one thing that I think is such a great focal point, as we have so much focus on the drought and on the Great Salt Lake, all of those systems and all of those reservoirs were created by farmers who needed some water to grow some crops. And subsequently, we all have benefited from all of those very early efforts. And I love particularly the 4th of July in these rural communities, and this one I think is going to be really special. You go to these small communities and there's parades and rodeos and dinners in the park and concerts in the park. And when I grew up in the small town of Lewiston, and when you go there, it's like a giant family reunion. And everybody who grew up there, who isn't there anymore, they all seem to want to converge and come back to that for that reunion, but that celebration of what that rural upbringing meant to them. And it's a great time. I love to go to a parade as long as there's a tractor in it. I like to go to a parade if there's horses in it. And I recognize that, you know, those parades, there's lots of locally owned businesses that are really supportive. But it doesn't really feel like a parade if, there aren't a few tractors rolling through, because I think that symbolizes a certain strength in a community, having those agricultural roots. And even today, a lot of our rural communities, they hinge completely on the strength of that ag community. And so I think it's even a celebration of the success in that of that agricultural community, just as much as, you know, celebrating our country's 250th birthday.
How much of a part of that rural heritage is rodeo? You know, lots of kids grown up do two things. They do future farmers and they do rodeo. And some do barrel racing, some do bull riding, which is a much different kind of competition. But is rodeo a crucial part of that tradition?
I think rodeo is a very crucial part. When I was a kid, we had horseback races. We had what they called the Little Buckaroo Rodeo, where, you know, you could climb on a crazy Shetland pony and, you know, win a little belt buckle. America loves this notion of, you know, these cowboys. They're a symbol of toughness. And I think that's also a part of what has made us last 250 years is because we've had to be tough, you know, growing our food. We've had to be tough chiseling out communities. We've had to be tough, you know, in all of the things that we've had to innovate. We've had to be tough, you know, through wartime. So I do think that the idea of the American farmer and rancher slash cowboy, I think there's a, you know, that symbolism is really strong. In Utah, I think there's probably less than 1% of the people that are engaged in agriculture now. But yet of those less than 1%, over 97% of those farm are still family owned. So it's very important in that regard. But I think in terms of our evolution, it's allowed us to be so much more than just staying home and growing enough food to get us through another winter.
But farmers, though, have been and still are leaders in our society, leaders in our legislature, and leaders around the country in business. So do you think Americans look to farmers for that kind of strength in the political institutions?
I think so. I think that there are some that, I think in a recent Envision Utah survey, those who were involved in agriculture were still considered some of the most trusted people in our society. And I think that when our farmers and ranchers, when they step up to want to be a mayor on a city council, in our legislature, or wherever, I think in general, and everybody has some common sense, but I think farmers are flush with common sense. And I think my dad served as a county commissioner in Cache County for 25 years. And he had a real common sense approach, a real practical approach. And sometimes I think that's a really refreshing thing, but people gravitate to it a lot of times because, like, oh, we're not overcomplicating this.
The American Farm Bureau Federation does have some political goals in this anniversary year. One of them is to get a farm bill passed. Hasn't been one since 2018, as they point out. Is that something that you're working toward? And what do you think are some of the policy objectives that you're working for?
I think it's critical, as you pointed out. It's been a while since the last one has been passed, and farmers and ranchers rely on those farm programs that allow them to function year to year. In the farm bill, there's disaster programs that help provide a little bit of a safety net in the event that we have, you know, catastrophic frost or flooding or drought. All of the things that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, we've had all of those things this year, it seems like, ganging up on us.
Yeah. Labor is getting tougher as we've this administration said we need to control our border. And I think that they're doing that much more effectively now. But not all of the labor programs fit all of the needs of ag. And so labor is that labor supply is definitely tightening, and farmers and ranchers are still trying to figure out how do we get our calves branded, our sheep docked, and our vegetables and our fruits picked and to the grocery store. And there's But there is seems like there's more of a sense of urgency right now. So,
one part of being a farmer, though, in a farm family, is that when you get up in the morning and you get out to do chores like everybody does, you don't have to worry about the social value of what it is you're doing for a living. That's kind of decided that when you choose this line of work, is that what you do is necessary and important.
I don't know if this sounds lame or not, but I always felt like there's a certain nobility in this notion that we're growing food for not just ourselves, but for our neighbors, people in our community.
You export people in other countries too.
Yeah, globally, we're growing food for around the world. And so, yeah, there. It's interesting. People can say, oh, he's just a farmer. But at the same time, I think that farmers themselves find such a purpose in what they do, because they're doing this wonderful thing. By and large, they're pretty proud of what they're doing and how they're able to help people.
As tough as it is. And farming, more than just about any other business, is a family business. Does the way that farms support the growth of families, Farm Bureau with its recognition of young farmers and ranchers, does that strengthen families?
You know, I come from a family where I have four older sisters and two younger brothers, and we all worked on the farm. But today, my brother Mike and my two cousins are taking care of our farm, and I'm a partner in that family dairy business. But it's tougher, and it's a tough business to be in. Land values are so expensive. Utah is experiencing just phenomenal growth, and so we're pushing our urban areas further and further into the closer to the rural areas, and some of our farms are starting to feel a lot of pressure just in those urban areas. You know, how do they operate on busy streets with lots of people always around them? And so here at the Utah Farm Bureau, we're trying to figure out how do we encourage people to stay in this line of work? How do we empower them, you know, give them ideas of how they can be more profitable? We try to, you know, from a policy standpoint, try to create an environment that laws and regulations are at least favorable for them to be able to have it, the best shot they possibly can to be profitable. So the Farm Bureau is definitely trying to figure out how do we keep family farms going? How do we get that next generation? What types of things can we do that will help Utah have a strong and vibrant ag industry for generations to come?
Farmers in the United States are extraordinarily productive, more than at any other time in that 250-year history.
Yeah, I think originally they were just growing what they could possibly grow to feed their own family. And through technological innovation, we figured out how to be more efficient with the resources. And now farmers are feeding, on average, about 170 people per farmer. That's incredible. That now 170 people are free to go do something else. It's given them freedom. That food security here in America gives us the freedom to do whatever we wish to do.
Well, we're into the season of fairs and summer celebrations, and as you point out, rural communities celebrating the 250th anniversary. When you run across the farmers in your communities, what do you ask them? What do you tell them? Appreciate what you do.
I think when people run into farmers in these rural communities, I think a standard would be, are you done with your hay? I think you got to have some small farmer talk. You know, what does your hay look like? What does your range look like? You know, inevitably you got to complain about the price of milk on the Chicago Board of Trade. But yeah, of course, I think it's a connection that people in general don't make, is to go to their farmer. And he might, let's say he has a cow calf operation. A lot of times we probably don't think to thank that person for doing that job, because, you know, those are just baby calves. We're not eating those baby calves. But, you know, I love that sentiment of, hey, thanks for doing what you're doing, because now I can feed my family and we can do what we want to do because you're willing to do that.
And the way farming works in the United States is possible because of the freedom we enjoy in our society. We are celebrating 250 years of that. What's your feeling about that?
You know, I've thought a lot about it. I recently was over here at the Bastion Center as they were dedicating a new arena, and they had a patriotic presentation, and there were some 4-H kids on horses with flags, and the national anthem was playing in the background. And I think maybe I'm getting older and more sentimental, we live in a wonderful place. We live in a of course America, but even more, we live in a wonderful place here in Utah where we can all do what we would like to do for a variety of reasons. But I feel such a sense of gratitude for those that have gone before us, those who have protected our freedoms, and those that are willing to continue to work day and night, work through storms, work through drought, work through frost that put food on our table. I have a great sense of appreciation for them, and it makes me, you know, makes me very appreciative of where we live and for all the sacrifices that so many make to make it so great.
Spencer Gibbons is CEO of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation. When we come back, we'll hear from the director of America 250 Utah about big plans for potluck dinners meant to bring neighbors together all over the state.
Exciting news for Utah Farm Bureau members. Your membership just got better with our new partnership with Benefit Hub. Benefit Hub is a powerful member benefits platform that gives you access to all your favorite Farm Bureau discounts, plus thousands of new savings opportunities at over a million locations, locally, nationally, and internationally. Whether you're planning a trip, shopping, dining out, or enjoying local attractions, savings are just a tap away. Learn more at utahfarmbureau.org/member-benefits. Utah Farm Bureau and Benefits Hub, your gateway to exclusive perks.
You're listening to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the Utah Farm Bureau podcast. Nicole Handy represents the Utah Department of Cultural and Community Engagement as Executive Director of America 250 Utah. Governor Spencer Cox gave them the mission to educate, engage, and unite Utahns in the celebration with a series of potluck dinners playing a central role.
We wanted to find a way to bring people together, and so one of the ideas that we had was to ask all Utahns to share a meal with their neighbor on Sunday, July 5th, the day after the anniversary. So you can do the parades, you can do the fireworks on the 4th, and then the next day, find a way to connect with your neighbor, break bread, share conversation, and just build community and culture together.
What do you have in mind for the menu?
Well, I think that's one of the funnest topics to talk about, right? Is what are you going to bring? And every dish has a story, whether it's where it came from, you know, within your garden, your farm, where you buy it from. But a lot of them are also family recipes, a favorite recipe that you bring. Utah has created on our potluck page a list of recipes. So the Farm Bureau has shared that as well. So I think everyone gets to bring their recipe that they would like as part of that.
I'm thinking of the lamb fry that they do down in Castledale in Emory County every year. That's a big community production, but is that the kind of the idea to something local, something that we produce here in Utah?
I think that would be fantastic. We would love for whatever the food is, however they gather, that it really reflects that local culture. You know, we are having these big national celebrations, and all 50 states have commissions that are planning things. And actually, all of them, all 50 of them and Puerto Rico, are participating in this potluck. So it really is a national day of unity. And what's so beautiful about it is that those potlucks are going to look different across the entire nation and across Utah as well, right? And I love that. I love the lamb fry. Is that what you called it? Yes. And one of the recipes that the Farm Bureau shared was branding enchiladas. You know, people also want to lean into funeral potatoes. I keep saying it's a little hot that day for funeral potatoes. But if that is your recipe you want to bring, I think that's great.
So how are people getting involved in different communities? How are they communicating with you about what they plan?
So we have been doing a lot of outreach, especially here in Utah. Nationally, we've been doing outreach. We've been working with the American Farm Bureau. We're working with all the state commissions. We're working with different clubs like Junior League and the American Legion. But here in Utah, also partnering with the Farm Bureau, sharing this through those networks, as well as the governor's office is helping us promote it. Utah's own local chefs, Associated Foods, has been a great partner as well as interfaith councils. So we're really just trying to share this through whatever networks that we can and invite everyone to participate. And what's so great about this is that there's no wrong way to do it. You can gather a little bit larger group if that works, and you're the mayor of Alton and want to invite everyone to the park and say, bring your own food and we'll supply the ice cream. Or it can be an individual who says, you know, I haven't talked to my neighbor in a few months and I'd like to invite them over to dinner, or let's gather our street together to do this as well.
And there is a webpage where you can put a pin in your plan for whatever community you're living in.
So on our website, americaspotluck.org, you can pin your potluck. We started it as a way to create a little bit of FOMO and get some excitement around it and see how this grows. Our goal is 25,000 potlucks nationwide.
What's on the menu? I mean, this is the 4th of July kind of thing, hot dogs, hamburgers, watermelon. What else?
We have a recipe page that we are promoting, or at least giving some ideas. So the Farm Bureau submitted some Associated Food as well as some local chefs featuring foods that are here in Utah and reflect our culture, but also, you know, some of the products, you know, that we have within the state that we get to highlight. We know it's a little before harvest season, but we want to make sure that we're eating local that way.
Well, you mentioned funeral potatoes.
We're also very excited about a national collaboration with America's Test Kitchen, which is a PBS affiliate. They have launched a collection of recipes that represent each state. So they went through and did their research, and they are launching funeral potatoes for Utah. But this is, once again, it seems very quintessential, but we need to invite them out when it's not
quite so
hot.
That trail will be empty. That'll be all gone at the end of the day.
Especially so we have three different funeral potato recipes on our website, and theirs has green onion and chive potato chips on top, which I am actually excited to try. I don't know that it's authentic, but it seems like a little elevated from the cornflakes.
Nicole, the America 250 celebration didn't begin just this year. It's been in the process for a long time. Explain a little bit about that.
So America 250 as a national organization was created by Congress in 2016. They have been working for you know, 10 years to start this. And we're originally the ones that got each state involved and made sure that there were efforts individually within states. They have all sorts of programming, like educational outreach and storytelling, that they're stories that they're collecting. There are now two national groups. So we have America 250, which is Congress's effort, and then Freedom 250, which is the White House's effort as well. And I think they're working in conjunction and trying to collaborate with states to really make this a national effort. And I think what's so great about how these groups are working together is that we really can find local ways to celebrate and commemorate this with our neighbors and in whatever way resonates with those groups and with individuals.
And where will you be for this occasion?
Well, I'm going to be on Gregson Avenue. I'm hosting somehow. I'm still trying to get a neighbor or two to maybe host, but I'm planning and I'm printing out. We have a toolkit on our website. I'm printing out my invitation and I'm going to put my posters up in my window, and I hope that my neighbors will join me on July 5th.
And when you sit down, what will you be thinking about and talking about on this occasion?
Well, I'm going to be resting. But I think really, really commemorating and thinking about the efforts that are made, thinking about our nation, thinking about how each of these gatherings is actually part of the American story, and that it's the individual stories that will be told and the experiences that are shared at each of these gatherings that make up this larger history, and that each of those individual tables and those individual menus are really what it looks a lot like America.
Nicole Handy heads up America 250 Utah for the State Department of Cultural and Community Engagement. You can find out more about America's potluck at america250.utah.gov. The American Farm Bureau is sponsoring its own nationwide celebration of the nation's 250th anniversary with a photography contest for its members. Utah Farm Bureau's Matt Hargraves has more about that.
The history of the United States, as we know, is written on every row of crops, every pasture and dairy barn from coast to coast. And the American Farm Bureau is marking this celebration, this 250th anniversary, through what we are calling Farm 250, which is a celebration of the contributions of America's farmers and ranchers in helping America grow into the nation it is today. And Farm 250 stands for Feeding Families, Advancing Innovation, Rural Resilience, and Mindful Stewardship. And it kind of hits to a lot of the principles that our farmers and ranchers live every day. But as part of this, the American Farm Bureau is launching a photo contest, which began the beginning of June and closes September 9th. And so as part of this, Farmer Bureau members are encouraged to enter photos that highlight American agriculture, whether that's ranching or anything else farmer-related, from sunrises and sunsets to family portraits to landscapes and farmscapes and everything involved with the producing food in our country. And the contest is a great opportunity for our Farm Bureau members to share what matters most and means most to them on their own farms. And photos can help bridge the gap between, you know, farmers and consumers. And so these best photos that are sent in have the chance to win some prizes. And so the winner of the contest nationally is eligible for a new iPhone, courtesy of T-Mobile, and a trip to Charlotte, North Carolina for the American Farm Bureau Convention in January of 2027. And photos that are submitted are also going to be featured in the American Farm Bureau booth at the Farm Bureau Convention. So we definitely invite all of our members out there to take a look at their photos. And this is going to be kind of in conjunction with Utah Farm Bureau's photo contest. I encourage people to take those best pictures and send them in.
And you can find out more about the America 250 photo contest at fb.org. We're wishing you and your family a happy and safe holiday and a great potluck dinner. Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow is the podcast service of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation. Our mission is to inspire all Utah families to connect, succeed, and grow through the miracle of agriculture. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.